divine calling in our life.
Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Give the Lord a big hand. Are you expectant? Are you hungry to receive? If you know you are expectant and you are ready to receive, can you give the Lord a big shout of praise? Praise the Lord. It's truly an honor to be here. I don't take it for granted to be here to share in your joy and in what the Lord is doing here in Manchester. I want to sincerely honor our Father. When I spoke with him, giving his pedigree in ministry and of course the humility I encountered, I realized there are depths in knowing God. Can we please honor God's servant sincerely and his wife, Pastor Abimbola and Pastor Mrs. Olabisi Komolafe. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Great honor. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to honor all the ministers that are here. Thank you for coming to share. It's 20th anniversary. That's a milestone indeed. We bless God and we thank you for coming. Because of our time, we'll go straight into the business of tonight. There will be much more to say tomorrow, but just for to do more of an intro tonight, can we lift our hands toward heaven and honor the Lord? You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh.
You almighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign,
you reign.
You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh.
You almighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign. Kadosh, Kadosh,
you are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
you are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign. Thank you for tonight. Thank you because our lives will not be the same again. Thank you because you will reach out to us at very deep cores that we cannot deny, and it will change us forever. We bless you because we know you are faithful and you always go beyond our expectations. tonight again we ask that you show yourself strong, even as your name is glorified, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm troubled. When I look at the time, I'm troubled. So, you know, when we come together like this, our attempt is not to carry out religious ceremonies. The move of the Spirit has gone beyond rituals and ceremonies. When we gather like this, our attempt is to journey in God. There are depths in God, and meetings like this affords us the privilege to journey and to access those depths. That's what makes our gathering significant. There are dimensions in God that when we interact with, activates us and bring out glory from within us. There's so much glory embedded in our spirits, but it will take our communion with God to excavate that glory. And so when we gather like this, it's not about the singing and the dancing. It's about the measures of God we make contact with. Because that's only when we can honor Him as He is. And it's on that basis also that our reality can manifest. If you don't know who God is because you have not encountered Him, if somebody only told you about God, you may make the mistake of giving Him, if you are reasonable at all, honor that you give to something else. Maybe the honor you give to your car. Maybe the honor you give to your boss. Maybe the honor you give to another mortal. You may choose to ascribe that honor to the Lord, and that may be so much until you see Him. Because when you see Him, the first thing that will happen is that you will melt. Everyone who encountered Him collapsed. He said, I was among the captives by the river Kabah, and I saw visions of God. The moment he saw His glory, he fell like a dead man. Because you have to be taught how to honor Him because of His magnitude. And when you encounter Him like that, something is born out of within you that yourself never knew was there. Because you have to be reintroduced to yourself. Your environment taught you, mentored you to believe you are what that environment wants to make you. But when you encounter God who authored your being, He will show you things in you that even you are not aware of. It might not even have reflected in your bloodline at all. That's why a Rahab, who is a harlot, actually has the capacity and the potential to be the progenitor of Christ. Now that potential, she would never have realized it except that she had an encounter. And so you discover that a harlot actually was not a harlot. Environment conditioned her to become a harlot. She is the mother of the Christos. But it took an encounter. A Paul who was walking about as a murderer, vexing the church and considered it to be a very tall occupation, suddenly encountered light. And when he saw that light, something happened. He became the greatest apostle. What he was fighting, he began to build. And so, conferences and meetings like this gives us the opportunity to know God at a deeper level, so we can ascribe the right honor to Him. And it also helps us to rediscover ourselves from the standpoint and the perspective of God, not from what environment made us. Hallelujah. And that's why the team is very important, to radiate further. To radiate further. What are you radiating? Is what is already in your spirit. It has to be unlocked. It has to be given permission to find expression. And as we begin tonight, I will attempt to show us what was embedded in us when we were fabricated, and then how we should unleash it. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 26, God said, let us make man. Oh dear Lord Jesus. You know, when you open the scriptures wow you. It shows you the limitation of our finite mind. A being is talking and is using us. That already dwarfs your mental capacity. How can I be talking and I should say let me or let I? How can one be us? It just opens your understanding to the person you are interacting with. He is beyond normal. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And then the second thing that draws your attention is this being that introduces himself already as a mystery wants to make man, and he's not making man like any other thing but himself. You need to know that even man has to be studied. Because if one is calling himself us, and that one who is calling himself us, who is already appearing like a contradiction, wants to make something like himself, then you will be wrong to look at that person and say, I know you. You don't know him. You will be told who he is. I'm trying to let us know what we want to radiate is heavy. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. I want to create a being that reigns. I want to create a being that rules. I want to create a being that kings. Not a being who is a servant at the mercy of nature, but a being that dominates nature. Because he didn't just say for them to have dominion, he specified. He said, let them have dominion over the birds of the air, the fishes in the water, and everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So from the creation of man, he has authority to rule the physical realm. And so every time man becomes a slave of the physical realm, something is wrong with his essence. Because he was created with the capacity to dominate the visible realm. From the airwaves to the water waves to the land, he has that power to dominate it. But that is not the only scope he was created to dominate. Because eventually, when he opened the door for spirits to also come into the visible realm, the scope had to expand. Because the reason God told him to dominate the air, the land, and the water was because spirits did not have access to the earth at that time. He was the only being functioning in the earth. But eventually, the serpent crept into the garden and the man opened the door. So, of necessity, this man's dominion now has to exceed the visible to the invincible. And so in Matthew 16 from verse 16, Jesus had to expand the scope. And this is what Jesus said. He said, wherever two or three of you are gathered together in my name, he said, I'm there in your midst. And he said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heavens. He has entered the spirit realm now, because now spirits are involved. So you dominate the physical and you also dominate the spiritual. But for you to be able to exercise sufficient authority to dominate both the physical and the spiritual, then you must have to live from the spiritual, because the spiritual is superior to the physical. If you live in the physical, you will be a slave of the spiritual. And you see, the door the man opened was not a door to light, it was a door to darkness. This is why radiation or emitting light has become too important, because now darkness has come into the man's ecosystem. When the devil came in, he came with another government, a government that is parallel to the government of light. And so man of necessity must learn how to dominate the realm of darkness. If he doesn't know how to do that, he will have a PhD and still be a puppet. Because a child who has intelligence in the demonic realm will dominate that man. You are in an advanced world. Those of us from Africa, we see a lot of things. I don't know, maybe the way civilization has gone here, it has shielded a lot of things. So many things are masqueraded. So
You need higher discernment now to know that this thing is not normal. In Africa, you don't need much discernment because the professor can just stand up. He's a neurosurgeon, but he will be paralyzed. And even himself can't explain because spirits are involved. Spirits are involved in the advancement of this civilization. And so every man must shine in darkness. Every man must shine. A man who does not shine is a slave of occurrences. Things will happen to him. It may not be happening now, but it will happen. The only thing that will shield you from happenings is when you begin to shine. Because when you begin to shine, you now make things happen. If you have not come to that level where you make things happen, things will happen to you. That's how the system works. Because spirits have come into the ecosystem. And this politics is a politics of dominion. You were created to dominate. When you stop shining, you lose the ability to dominate. And because you are no longer dealing with birds, fishes, and things that creep on the earth, but demons, those demons will dominate you. So you need to learn how to rule among spirits. The idea behind radiation is to rule. The idea behind shining is to rule in darkness. And there are many scriptures that suggest that darkness has an agenda. And when you study it, you will find it. In Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1, the Bible said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." In case you don't take it serious, he said, "Don't worry, there is something else." He said, "Darkness shall cover the earth, and then gross darkness shall cover the people." So the darkness is divided into layers. The smaller darkness for the earth, but the bigger darkness is for the people. So a man who does not arise to shine, that man is a slave. That man is a victim. And the treacherous thing about darkness is that you may be a victim and not know. Until the day you leave your body, you will now discover the life you live was a lie. You know, in Africa, we suffer sickness, poverty, and then you may be quick to say, all these people talking darkness, darkness. Why is it only in Africa? The one in Europe is more. Because in Africa, we don't pride that a man is marrying a man. At least we still know the definition of marriage. We are not so learned, but we still know the definition of marriage. At least the ancient way the Bible defines it. We don't know much. They don't create planes there, but we still know some basic definitions. We've not lost it. So what we are talking about here is not Africa alone. It's heavy here. Because why it manipulates our circumstances here, it manipulates your emotions. And so somebody wakes up in the morning and says, I don't love the opposite sex anymore. I love people who look like me. And he thinks it's wise. He said, darkness shall what? Cover the earth. Gross darkness shall cover the people. He now said, but you arise and shine. Arise and shine. If you don't arise, you will not shine. But before I go into how to arise and shine, let me show you why you must shine. I'm taking it gradually because tonight is introduction. You must arise and shine because it's your nature. A man who is not shining is denatured. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5, he said, "You are the children of light." And because you are the children of light, it's your nature to shine. If you are not shining, you are denatured. And when you are denatured, nothing you do makes sense. Because you are operating from a lower version of yourself. You are operating from a version of yourself that is not consistent with the original design. If you operate by the dictates of the original design, shining will be natural to you. In fact, the order of shining we are talking about here is not you being your best. It's at one level for you to be your best. But what God is saying is not, this is my best. No. The kind of shining God is talking about is the same kind of shining that God himself shines. Because in Matthew chapter 8 verse 12, Jesus said, he said, "I am the light of the world." It says, he that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then Jesus came back to say in John 5:14, he said, you are the light of the world. So the same way I am the light of the world, you also should become the light of the world. So what Jesus was trying to say is, when men seek me, if they see you, they have seen me. That's what it means to shine. It's not just to be good at physics. It's not just to be good at marketing. It's to be able to reflect God. That wherever you are, there will be no doubt as to who God is or whether God exists. You will mirror God in his supernatural and superlative dimension to the point that no man can deny his existence. If he chooses to, it will not be out of ignorance. It will be out of rebellion. And so because of you, your word can be judged. This is the summary of the life of Noah. The Bible said, because of the degree to which Noah reflected God, it said the world was judged because of Noah. Because if Noah is around, it will be impossible for you to deny that God is not real. If you are denying that God is not real, it's not because you are ignorant. Seeing the life of Noah will give you indicators to the supernatural. So much so that even yourself will know, if you say God is not existing, you are lying. And so your shining is the reason why a dark world will be judged. Because everywhere you appear, you don't appear in the order of your family line. You appear in the order of the Christ. When men see you, they see God. If you study scripture, most persons operated this order. For example, Noah wanted to build an ark. Nobody had built something like that before. All the dimensions of the ark, he didn't read it in a book. He saw it in the spirit. And for 100 years, Noah will see from heaven and download on earth. He will see from heaven and download on earth. And the things Noah said that they mocked him. A day came, all of them began to happen. They eventually ran to Noah, but the ark was shut. So Noah became the symbol of judgment to his generation. You know, so Christianity is not to come to church. You are a doctor. How many persons know that God is real because you are a doctor? That's the question the conference is asking. This is not about being an apostle or a prophet. This is about being a witness. Because when we were sent out, all of us were sent out as witnesses. You are in the business world. People interact with you. How come they marvel at your marketing capacity, but they have not seen something supernatural in you that has made them to ask you, what is happening on your inside? It means you are shining forth marketing principles, but you are not shining forth God. And so no matter how brilliant you are in your occupation, if God cannot be traced to you, your existence is a denatured existence. Because when it says to shine, what it meant is for you to reflect God. That's why Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Because we came as representatives of different dimensions. Now, when we gather together in church like this, we are not members. The church is not a membership house. It's an ecclesia. When we gather like this, we are representatives of constituency. And so those who sit by the left may be called healers. And so when somebody is sick and doctors give up on, you say, when you come to church, go there. Those ones are bombs in Gilead. So anything that has to do with sickness, they have the capacity to remedy it. Just go there. Anybody you touch will bring life. They know what to do to bring life. And then you come to the right, you say, those ones are the sons of Isaac. They know times and seasons. Before you do investment, better ask them. Don't go and invest because of stock market. Invest because they tell you. Because they can decipher spiritual calendar and tell you, even though this thing is selling now, in 2 weeks it will go down. Buy this one that is obscured. The kind of wisdom they operate makes it impossible for the business expert to understand who they are. Now, when the church begins to operate like that, it means the light has come. This is why presidents will come to ask us, what shall we do? Did you not read about Jesus? Fishermen were fishing all night. They didn't catch any. And he told them, launch into the deep. Cast your net. How do you teach a fisherman? Sir, you have never fished.
Which book did you read? Where are you from? But from the way the man spoke, Peter was wise. He said, we've toiled all night. This is our occupation. We know this, you know. But because you have said, at thy word, we will try, notwithstanding. And when they cast their net, the net started breaking. For the catch, they couldn't pull it out. That's what it means to shine. There's a God dimension on your inside. And you begin to let it find expression. Thank God for certificate. Thank God for experience. But over and above certificate and experience, you know there is something in you that you didn't buy. You know there is something in you that you didn't read. You know there is something in you that is consistent with your DNA. Your spiritual DNA. Because as he is, so are you. Not in heaven, in this world. And so when men meet you, yes, they will interact with your training. But over and above your training, they will touch something about you that they know is not found in the university. Shine. Shine. Because we are the children of light. Number two, why must we shine? If we don't shine, darkness will not be subdued. You know, it's pathetic when Christians move around blaming people. We are not called to blame them. We are called to silence them. He said, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. And so the Christian is not a being of complaint. It's a being of answers. So when there is contradiction, that's your platform. Our platform is not a stage with LED screens and lights. Our platform are the contradictions of the world. When there is darkness, we show forth. When there is darkness, we show forth. Our manifestation is in the thickest of darkness. And this is how men will know that we serve a God that is supreme. The best witness you can bring to a generation is not by preaching, it's by showing God. Now, why am I taking time to define these things? Because if we don't know it, we will assume it's another conference of coming to take notes. We will assume it's another conference of coming to sing and dance. No, this kind of conference will cast a burden on your heart. A burden. There's so much darkness in this territory. How come my light have not been able to shed off the darkness? Because the reason God calls us to shine is to push back darkness. We are the antidote to the operations of darkness. Darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness shall cover the people, but that's not a problem. The problem is that Christians are not shining. Because if Christians were shining, the darkness would have become a platform. But unfortunately, we have not understood that the problem we complain about is actually our opportunity to shine. And so when you leave a conference like this, you are looking for the contradictions the devil is creating, and you are going there as the answer. So a conference like this is not one to increase knowledge, it's one to increase power. To increase power. When you sing, darkness moves. When you talk, darkness moves. Whatever you do, first you dissipate darkness, because you are shining. You are shining. The reason God calls us to shine is so that darkness can be dissipated. Number three, the reason God calls us to shine is because only within the context of light can purpose be fulfilled. I already told you about Paul. He was killing and murdering Christians, thinking he was doing God a favor. He was in darkness. Is it possible for a man to put his whole energy in an enterprise, yet that thing does not strike a chord in eternity? I told them, I said, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. And so purpose cannot be found except as light is shed, and except as a man begins to shine. Because there are many who have not begun to shine, or they've put their light under a bushel and they are hoping to fulfill purpose. Purpose can only begin to find expression as your light begins to beam. It is in that light that you fulfill purpose. Even God could not walk except as light appeared. In Genesis chapter 1, it said the word was in chaos. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The first thing God did was to call forth light. The moment light came, the work of God began. The reason many can never fulfill purpose is because they are in darkness. And so in a conference like this, you are expected or called to find your rhythm back to the foundation. You trace your reality from the Christ. Until you find yourself in Christ, you can't do anything that is worthwhile. Because there are many persons who believe because they study neuroscience, they will fulfill purpose. There is no purpose outside of Christ. Everything outside Christ is darkness. And until what you are doing, Christ becomes the force that determines how that thing is done, there is no purpose in it. Because there are many persons who will compromise God in order to advance what they are doing. Because they think what they are doing is superior to their work with God. So again and again, they sacrifice their work with God in order to go forward in what they are doing. When you journey to the end of the road, you discover it is death. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end of that path is death. The only time you can fulfill purpose and walk through life meaningfully is when Christ has the preeminence. If Christ is not the preeminence, you have not found light and you are not yet shining. No matter how effective you are, at the end of the day, that thing can't define your essence. It cannot define meaning and it can never bring fulfillment. And so the third reason why we shine is because purpose can only be factored within the context of light. And number four, which is the last I will say, is that your true value is seen in light. Your true value. He said, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He said, Gentiles shall come to your light. They won't come to you. Nobody cares your skin color. Nobody cares about your height. Nobody cares about what you possess. He said, Gentiles shall come to your light. And he said, kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. So your true value is tied to the light that you have caught in God. If a man has no light, he has no value. And in our world today, because people lack value, they try to make value out of flesh. And so you see a young man, he spends all the time gymming for his chest to be bigger. If it's exercise, that's good. If it's for health purpose, that's good. But if it's to look better, you are a waste. A young lady scrapes all her eyelashes, use something, color it, they apply 7 colors of powder. By the time you are 38, even your skin will begin to tell you that your value is bigger than your skin. Because the skin will start giving way. The skin. The moment you give birth to 2-3 children, you will de-shape. And so if your value was hanging on your physical body, before you are 40, you will know. Your value is not in your looks. It's in the light that beams out of you. The light. What is the ray? What is the radiation that beams out of you? That's where value is. And those ones, they never grow old because they are as eternal as the God that is emitted. They are as immortal, without corruption, as the God that is reflected. Find someone who beams the light of God. The older, the better. Because it's called Ancient of Days. The more you know, the more you want to know. The more you see, the more you want. Don't you know what the 24 elders do? Every time when the glory appears, they bow. When they bow and they lift up their eyes, they see another dimension. They bow. They rise up. They see another dimension. They bow. They've never exhausted the glory. Because anything that comes from God is immortal and is eternal. The more it beams, the more glorious it becomes. It's an excelling glory. And so when God calls us to shine, he's bringing us into an economy, a value system that cannot be gainsaid. Even kings can come. Even kings. He said they will come to the brightness of your rising. If it is light, it will attract even kings. If it is light. And he didn't say king. He said kings. Many of them will come. Because they can't deny it. Nobody can deny light. Nobody can undermine light. We all need light. Thank you very much. And so true value is in light. The question now is, how do you begin to beam this light, which is our focus? How do you begin to radiate this light? How do you begin to cause this light to flow out of you? The first way to begin to release the light of God from your spirit is by beholding Him. Because you are not the source, you are the conveyor, you are the conductor. It's by beholding Him. And so a man who wants to shine, we pay the price to seek God, to find God, and to behold God. You know, when you teach like this, sometimes people think you are being religious and you are reducing everything to spirituality. You need to read the Bible and you understand spiritual principles are deeper than just a group of religious people trying to do something in a religious way. It was this same light Joseph caught that he delivered Egypt as prime minister. It was this same light Daniel caught that he became the star of Babylon. So this is not about church. This is about dominating a dark world. Because the walls were framed by the word of God. It's God who created this world. And so there is no time you are drawing reference from God that you can be reduced to a religious man. Because the essence of creation came from His word. And so every time you contact God, you dominate this world. In fact, anything you have that does not come from God is a mirage. Until the word of God captures it, you have not entered it. If you like, walk in it, it's a mirage. If you don't lose it in time, you will lose it in eternity. But one way or the other, you must lose it. Until the word of God captures it, you can't have it. That's how it works. Because the walls were framed by the word of God. And so the first way to begin to emit light is by beholding Him. He said, we all, with unveiled faces. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord. And like I began sharing, He said, as we behold Him, we don't just know more about Him. He said, in beholding Him, we are now changed. And He said, we are not just changed into whatever. He said, we are changed into that glory, into that image, from one level of glory to another level of glory. If you have studied about the glory of God, you will know that the glory of God is His essence. Captured within the glory of God is His righteousness. The righteousness of God is not just the ability of God to do right. The righteousness of God is actually a power. A power that makes it impossible for God to be wrong, even if He wanted to. If God looks at you now and say you are dark, even if you are as fair as a Chinese person, you will turn dark. Because a power will be emitted. Every time He talks and whatever He does, there's an energy level where He operates from that causes His words to be animated. So the righteousness of God is the power that causes God to be distinguished in glory. So there is a distinctive dimension in God that makes God stand out. Now, when you begin to transform into that glory, you can be on that job with 10 people. They will do what you are doing, but there will be something about yours that will distinguish it. That's what makes you stand out. It is an economy in the glory. So when He said, as we behold Him, we are changed, He didn't say we become religious. He said we are changed into that glory. So that thing that makes God stand out, that thing that makes God exceptional, that thing that distinguishes God in glory, He said that thing is imparted unto you. It is at this level now you can go into the world. Because when you join the lecturers, you will be teaching, but there will be a difference. You are teaching chemistry, people are being transformed. They understand the chemistry, but their morality is changing. Because your word does not only convey chemical knowledge, it also conveys power. And so as they are hearing you, they can go home and they lose their peace over something they are doing. The reason is simple. There is glory in your word. And that glory carries the righteous power of God. You go into a business, everybody is looking at it and analyzing it based on physical parameters. But that distinguished and distinctive dimension of God that is in you, it makes you look at 10 things, but you pick one. Even you don't know why you pick that one. But there is something in you that can err. There's something in you that brings you into supernatural accuracy. And so everybody is seeing it based on fact, but you are seeing it from distinction in glory. And so that one you picked, over time, it becomes the best. And people come to you and say, how are you doing these things? We all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, you are changed. We are changed. Even in marriage, three suitors come. You look at them. You would have preferred the guy who looks a particular way, but the glory in you won't let you. You see them, you are gravitating towards the guy. He's bringing gifts. He's smooth with words. He knows how to care for you. But the glory in you is telling you, pick this quiet one. Even you don't know why. You don't know why. But there is something in glory that distinguishes God, that causes God to always be accurate and makes it impossible for God to err. So as you are being transformed, you are brought into accuracy. The things you do, they must work. You become right. You become on point. And it's not because you read. It's not because you are experienced. It's not because you are old. You may be very young, but you are accurate. You are accurate by the glory. As you are beholding, you are being changed. You wake up that day, you want to go to a particular place, and the glory in you won't let you. He said, walk towards the Buckingham Palace. You don't know why you are going there. You are just walking. And the glory brings you, you stand somewhere, and you are standing there, and that's where the prince stops. You don't know why the lines begin to fall in pleasant places, because the manipulations and the permutations have already happened in the spirit. The glory took you there at the right time, in the right place, and you meet the right person. Even you will not know. See, there are things bigger than manipulation. There are things bigger than strategy. It's called spiritual accuracy. Accuracy. And so when we behold and we are changed, it's not about becoming a more passionate Christian. It's not about becoming active in church. Yes, you will be, but you begin to dominate your world, because there's an accuracy that comes into you. You don't know why. You don't just know why, but you now discover that the step of the righteous man is ordered by the Lord. It's ordered. All your steps are now ordered, and you begin to succeed. It cannot be explained, but it cannot be denied. We all, with unveiled faces. See, this is why the Christian, his life is a mystery. Everybody can be rushing. You will wait. Because you know you need to see to see. You need to behold to be accurate. So others can rush. Did you not read about Isaac? He said everybody was rushing to Gerar. The guy wanted to rush. He said, you are not of the bandwagon. Stay still in Gerar. Stay still. That's not how Abraham did it. The moment Abraham entered the promised land, he built an altar to the Lord that appeared to him. We wait to run. We don't run just like that. We wait. We wait. And the guy stood still in Gerar. And in that same year, he sold and received a 100-fold return. The Bible said he became big, so big that the Philistines began to envy him. What if he ran to Egypt? But there is something that won't let him go. Even though economically speaking, it looked as if this place was hard. It looked as if failure was looming. The glory says, stay here. Don't follow the people. Follow the glory. Because when you wait, something happens to you. He said, have you not heard? Isaiah 40 verse 28. That the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary. He said, he giveth power to the faint. Unto them that have no might, he increases strength. And he said, even the youth shall faint. So if you think it's about youthfulness, you are wrong. He said, and the young men, because this is the youth and the young men are like the brightest of the human species. But he's telling you this thing is beyond natural advantage. The youth shall faint. The young men shall utterly fall. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord, they mount up. They don't run anymore. They mount. They mount up with wings like the eagles. He said, when they now run, they don't faint. When they walk, they are not weary. There is something that comes into them, is the excelling glory. And so they begin to operate exactly like the God that they worship. This is why when you see them, you no longer see them. You see the God that is on their inside. Paul said, be a follower of me as I am the follower of Christ. You can become an architect with a difference. You can become a businessman with a difference. You can become a politician with a difference. But before you get there, you must be changed so that the glory begins to dictate your life. Not what you read, not what people told you. You come into accuracy and precision because that is the nature of the glory. We all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. Please help the sister. We all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. Your family can be changed. Your business can be changed. Your career can be changed. But how well have you beheld? Because this thing is not just telling you what to do and what not to do. It's to become. It's metamorphosis. You become like Him. So you think like God. You act like God. He said we have the mind of Christ. And so we judge all things. You begin to operate exactly like the God that you serve. So much so that when men see you, they will have a testimony that there is God in this man. I don't know what he's doing, but there is something about this man that cannot be explained, yet cannot be denied. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is divinity manifested through humanity. Christianity is God revealed through human vessel. Christianity is not a religion. It's not about how long you have been a Christian. It's about the degree to which you have been transformed. How much of God do you carry? How much of God do you carry? We all, with open faces, beholding us in the glass. Your word is waiting for you, but not this version. No. This version, there's somebody who studied in Harvard who knows better. This version of you, there's somebody who has a connection that is stronger. There's a version of you that when you come, is God the sea. The Bible said in Exodus 30, verse 29, he said, when Moses waited, he said the face of Moses began to shine. Even Moses was not aware. That's the beauty of it. Even you will not know that something has happened. But you will just discover that everything you do, your results are beyond human standards. He said Moses wished not that his face was glistering. His face began to glister because he was coming to the immortal dimension. And a point came, the words of Moses became the words of God. When Paul was speaking about Moses many years later, in 2 Corinthians 3:15, he said, when Moses is read, Moses had become one with the laws of God. The things Moses said were equal with the things God said. He had come into so much immortalization that he was like a God. So much so that even his body, the glory on his body became too much that Moses could not die. God had to kill him. They needed to invent a technology of killing Moses because the man can't die. At 120, his eyes didn't go dim. His body strength was not abated. He became a glorified man. And when God wanted to kill Moses, he had to do it in secret because it's the way you kill a glorified person. The man had conquered death. And even after killing Moses, the devil came looking for his body because there is something they wanted to study about the body of Moses. This one is not normal. There are men who have come into that economy. Elijah walked in it so much that he couldn't die. God said, no, we will take you. If we leave you here, even angels will come to arrest you to study you because you have become a specimen. And when God took Elijah, again and again, Elijah came to visit the earth because when God has a project, accurate man needs to manifest. Accurate man needs to show up. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah came. In John the Baptist, Elijah came. And Elijah will still come again. One man lived four lifetimes because of the level of accuracy. God could not exhaust him in his program because he had become like an immortal. So God preserved such people to use them again and again. Did you not read Daniel? Daniel knew the technology. When they were competing for position, he said, give the position to others. I will wait at the gate. There's a place where the star of heaven appears. There's a place we dwell, where we look upon him that dwells in light. There's a place we sit where we gaze upon the one that sits in the purifying fires. That's our satisfaction. We will stay there. And they thought Daniel had lost relevance until a day came, a hand wrote on the wall and nobody could read it. If you can't read, how do you explain? And they went to look for the guy who, according to human standard, was irrelevant. And Daniel strode out of his cave. And when he came, he looked at the hand and he began to read the language of angels. Who taught you? Where did you read it? How do you know that there are languages beyond human civilization? And he did not just read it. He first of all gave a narrative of why the hand came. Because he is part of the court session where that verdict was given. I don't just know the writing. I know why the hand came. He said, God blessed your father and gave you a kingdom that covered the ends of the earth. But you decided to worship the God of iron and of stone. He said, therefore is this hand come. So before I read it, let me tell you why the hand came. And after he told him why, he now began to read it. Mene, mene. Take care, Ophasin. He said, you have been weighed in the balance. How do you know where they weigh men? I thought the weighing balance is in the natural. How do you know? What parameters do gods consider when they weigh men? He was talking about the judgments of Elohim. I was there when you were judged. I was there when the verdict were passed. I was there where your weight was quantified in the spirit. And I knew that you were found wanting because the immortals have disqualified you. And he said, tonight, your kingdom shall be measured and separated to the Medes and the Persians. And that same night, the strongest civilization in the world collapsed because a man of glory was talking. Who told you that United Kingdom is too strong? We need men of glory. Men that can go into light that is more ancient than the older civilization. Among men, this may be the most ancient civilization, but there is a light that dwells before the worlds were created. There's a civilization that existed beyond the stars. There's a place where cherubims gather, where they dictate the outcomes of human civilization. If a man can behold, he will journey to those quarters. And when that man talks, his voice will be as ancient as the one that sits on the throne. You see, the angels of God are already ministering to people. Because some of you, you carry eternity in your heart. You are deep. You are deep, but you have not traveled. You have not traveled. They kept you studying physics and theology. That is good. Read it. I also studied. I'm a PhD holder. But there is a knowledge. There's a knowledge that does not increase learning. There's a knowledge that increases transformation. He said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. There's a knowledge that brings you into liberty in the spirit, where you talk things that men can't comprehend. And when you talk, the outcome of your utterance is power. Judging you based on your skin color. But there's a place you will enter. You will come out with the sun. And even they will be wrong to call you a black man, because you will come out with the regalias of the immortals. And even the white man will know that no, skin color does not matter. Where you come from, the weight of glory that will churn out of your spirit can swallow a nation's civilization. The Lord is anointing seven persons. There are seven persons that God is specially anointing for the last day. Something is about to break out in the United Kingdom. And so God is raising his soldiers. He's raising his warriors. He's raising his foot soldiers. And I came to sound that alarm. The land is too cold. You cannot be cold. You must be on fire in order to tame the cold temperature in the physical. Wherever these ones are, Father, by the Spirit of the living God, right now I ask that you touch them. If we have ushers here, please help me identify 7 persons that God will touch now. Because the fires of heaven, they are about to rest upon people now. Holy Ghost, wherever they are, let that activation begin.
Yeshua.
Bring them for me. I want to lay hands on them. Oh yeah. Yeshua,
Yeshua.
My God, Faro Kabasila Gate Zilavana Kai,
Lagra Gasave Latulia Baragita, Zezeli Mantakibaru, help her, please. Rakiba Rato Savalakina Maragata, Azeze Lelo Parina Sabdaga.
It doesn't matter the physical limitations you have. When the glory comes, the glory will swallow it up. It will swallow it up. Moses said, I can't speak well. God said, who gave you the mouth? The glory can swallow up.
Yeshua.
Thank you, Father. Please help those under the anointing. Apostle Paddy, can you please help me? Just place this on them. Listen, there is a dimension of wisdom that is locked up on your inside. There's a dimension of utterance that is locked up on your inside. There's a dimension of power that is locked up on your inside. But it will take beholding to excavate it. It will take beholding. We all with open faces. See, people are beholding TikTok, beholding Instagram, beholding Facebook, but they are not beholding the glory. Your reality is not on Facebook. Your reality is not on TikTok. You can go there and do business, but when you are done, come back and sit on the glory. No man who beheld it wasted in time. Not one. And the second way to stir this unction of God on your inside is by prayer. By prayer. He said, as Jesus prayed, he said, the fashion of his countenance was altered. He said his raiment began to glister. Matthew 17, 2 and 3. Luke 9, 28 and 29. His countenance. See, there is something in you waiting for prayer to activate. As you start praying, you will know the decision to make. That decision, it has the power to change your life. But to be exact in making that decision at the right time, you may need to stir your senses in prayer. UK is too busy. people are working from morning till night, from Monday to Monday. Even Sundays, people can't sit down. It's not by working that you become mighty. Work is important, but you need accuracy. You need wisdom. You need favor. You need power. All of those things, you pick them in the presence. You pick them. And so while you run through your busy day, look for a 30 minutes and step aside and pray in tongues for 30 minutes. The wisdom you will pick from there, the decision you will make, can affect 10 years of your life. Don't get too busy to go to the altar. There is never a time men took over territories without prayer. The Bible said, from the days of Enosh, it said men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Abraham littered his pathway in life with altars. Abraham did not just become great because God spoke to him. He became great because he was a man of the altar. Genesis 12:6, Genesis 12:7, Genesis 13:18, altars everywhere. They were wise men. I know you are a professor. I know you are a doctor. I can imagine how hectic your work is. But every day, 30 minutes, 1 hour, go and charge your spirit. Your advantage is not in the job. Your advantage is in your spirit. He said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You can draw from God through your spirit in prayer. You don't know why the system is designed the way it is designed. Because they want to rid you of glory. They want to rid you of radiation. So you walk and walk and walk and walk before you know what is happening. 10 years have gone. 20 years have gone. And that thing you are working for, you can't see it. I pray for you tonight. The capacity to stir the fire, the capacity to awaken the glory, the capacity to stir the river, receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. You are not weak. You are not feeble. You are not disadvantaged. You have not just stirred what is in your spirit. You have not awakened it. If you do, you will be amazed how your life can move. Thank God for discipline. Thank God for principles. Thank God for hard work. But in addition, stir the glory. Stir the glory. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? We're out of time. Tomorrow I will pray for the sick, and I will really have time for impartation. But very quickly, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me there is about to be a baptism of the Spirit of wisdom. It says through wisdom is an house built. By understanding it is established. And through knowledge all the chambers are filled with every precious thing. There is a wisdom for witty inventions. There is a wisdom for dominance. There is a wisdom for taking over. Father, I lift my hands over your people. Everyone listening, on ground, online, there's about to be a supernatural baptism of the Spirit of wisdom. The fire of God will come strong on one person. I want the ushers, please be sensitive. Ushers, please be sensitive. In the name of Jesus, I release that baptism now. Take in the name of Jesus. Please help her. Take in the name of Jesus. Take in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You will never be the same again. There's a quickening in the spirit. Somebody will suddenly develop hunger for God. I release that grace now. I release that grace now. I release that grace now. Hunger for the presence. Hunger. I release that grace now. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire.
Bring that brother for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Most of you will walk out of this place and you will walk into encounters. 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 Encounters that makes warriors. Encounters that makes inventors. Encounters that makes kings. You will walk into those encounters. Thank you, Father. Please lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. The Lord is stripping someone of spiritual lethargy. You have become so weak and lukewarm. You can't even pray for 5 minutes. The Lord is taking it out of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the fire now. I break that yoke of lethargy. The Lord is telling me now, He is anointing someone with the fresh oil. And hear this, the purpose for fresh oil anointing is to exalt your horn. It's for authority. Because you are here, you have been marginalized. Even in your workplace, you have been marginalized. Things have been ripped off your hands and you don't even know what to do about it. Your horn is exalted and you enjoy restoration. And that same place where you are marginalized, you will take over. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release that grace now. I release that grace now. I release that grace now. Arise, shine. Your light is come. Thank you, Father. Just lift your hands and honor the Lord.
By this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.